Now please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I gotta admit, I'm a little sore today. I'm chopping a ton of wood yesterday. many thanks to Gordon Granley. He donated a lot of logs to be chopped and sold as a fundraiser for our youth. And thanks to Dylan Hess, who did the hard work of earning his way for our trip to Houston next summer, and Dustin for helping out. And if I can thank the pastor, I was there the whole time too. But as a result, I'm pretty sore today. And we were working at it for about 6 hours yesterday or so. And you know, in the midst of doing all this hard work to raise money for the youth, sometimes, confession time, I get a little jealous. I get a little jealous not of, you know, other people or other professions so much as other pastors from other eras. So I was in pre-seminary in college, I was told by one professor who had served as a pastor that he saw his job as about half of his time was devoted during the week to preparing the sermon for Sunday. It's about 20 hours or so. What? 20 hours to be able to sit and read and digest the text? I'm lucky this week I've snagged out about 2 hours. about 10 times as much as me on that. And I'm also struck by other images of pastors of different generation who were told that they were called to go out to the church to preach the gospel and minister the sacraments and visit the sick and the homebound. That was it. that's all you had to do. You didn't have to raise money for youth trips. You didn't have to plan and do all innovative methods and, you know, do all this sorts of fundraising stuff that we have to do anymore. I'm a little jealous of that sometimes. I think of Carl Rohr, who just came and read our first two lessons for today. I had the pleasure of interning under his brother. His brother was my supervisor for a year down in Laramie, Wyoming. And I remember a conversation. His brother was so proud of his humility. He told this story several times about one occasion when there was no toilet paper left in the church. I'm not sure if this was his call in Wyoming or one of his others, but there was no toilet paper left in the church. And he humbled himself as a pastor to go and purchase toilet paper for the church. I get jealous when I'm in a hole in our churchyard cutting into the sewer line. the model of humility in the 60s and 70s, those graduating then, was, oh, I bought toilet paper. I had to redesign the whole sewage system. Or at least have a hand in that. Different times. And sometimes as I'm griping and getting jealous, I wonder, is it worth it, right? Is it worth it to have a sore back, to just eke out that money, to raise that money for somebody else, right? Is it worth it to go that extra mile, to make sure church happens, that the ministry is forwarded in this day and age, if the gospel is able to go the distance, right? But no, for all my jealousy and all my griping in these moments, I really shouldn't, by the way. I'm very grateful to be here and grateful for this call. But more than that, I'm grateful for the opportunity to pay it forward, to be generous with my time and my gifts. I'm grateful that I serve and live in a community who has supported each and every one of these efforts, a community that is generous in its own right. I'm grateful that we practice that generosity here each and every Sunday, giving to the offering plates and organizing our time and our talents and being encouraged to volunteer more, not less. Being encouraged to give more. to be generous, to abide and take care of the needs of others. I mean, it may seem pretty run-of-the-mill around here to get updates on Shepherd's Table or the needs of the food bank or how we might, you know, volunteer for the next fundraiser or things like that. But as we hear from our gospel text and our Old Testament lesson as well, these efforts are worthy in the eyes of God. So both our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel and our gospel lesson for today talk about the separation of the flock, if you will. In Ezekiel, you have the separation of sheep from sheep. You have the fat sheep, the well-fed, separated from the lean sheep, the weak. And in our gospel lesson, you have the separation of the sheep from the goats. Now, in the gospel lesson, the sheep are preferred, right? They are ushered in at the Lord's right hand. In the ancient pre-toilet paper days, the left hand was used on the john, so to speak, right? To clean oneself. And so you shook with your right hand. Your right hand was the place of honor. And the left hand was not so much. So the sheep had the preferred position in the kingdom of God in that imagery. The left hand was the non-preferred, and in this case, damnable position in the kingdom of God in this separation. And in Ezekiel, you have the left and the right hand images going on as well. But instead of just sheep from the goats, you have the one kind of sheep from the different kind of sheep. I imagine these lessons might be challenging for some. I know they are for me. These are passages that speak about judgment and God's final judgment. Now, some people like to talk about that a lot, like to be preachers of fire and brimstone and stand on street corners and talk about how everybody else is going to hell. I'm not one of those guys. So it's challenging for me that the sheep get to reign in eternal paradise with the Lord forever. But the other sheep, or the goats, are separated for destruction and eternal destruction in the afterlife. And yet, as much as I kind of wrestle with these images of damnation, there's also good news to it. I've been struck by that recently. There's good news in the Lord's judgment because it protects our daughters, our wives, and our sisters from being victimized anymore, from being harassed, experiencing the sexual misconduct of so many that's hitting the news lately. After the final separation and judgment, there will be no more mass shootings in schools and our churches. The afterlife is a place that, beyond the separation, will be free from such violence. There will be no more drug dealing or meth addiction. There will be no more domestic abuse or poverty or homelessness, hunger. The list of challenges in our chaotic world go on. But all of these will be separated out. There's good news that we will be beyond these sins of our world. And I take heart in that. And that is what Jesus intended. And that was good news for the people of Jesus' day as well, in which they endured all sorts of violence at the hands of their Roman overlords or thieves in the street, all sorts of craziness back in those days. There was a good news in God's judgment, for it would protect people. It would protect the sheep from that in God's eternal future. But we should also, as Christians in this day and age, pay attention to what distinguishes the sheep from the sheep or the sheep from the goats in these lessons. What's so different about the one crew over the other? What makes one worthy of God's right hand and the other not? In Ezekiel, the sheep are prophesied to be gathered from all the corners of the earth. This is really like a worldwide vision, which is kind of cool for the Old Testament, right? Oftentimes they were just worried about the promised land and getting the people there and whatnot, and protecting them. But Ezekiel prophesies to all corners of the earth. From we barbarian Scandinavians in the north. It's okay to call your own people savages, right? Barbarians. I'm the northern barbarian, the Danes, right? to the peoples of the continent of Africa, to the continent, throughout the continent of Asia, God would gather all these people to God's holy mountain in Israel. And Ezekiel, so many thousand years ago, prophesied to this way long back in the day. And these sheep that will be gathered are the poor and the downtrodden, the weak, the hungry, those who are in need of pasture on the mountain of Israel. And it prophesies that the offspring of David will be this great shepherd who will gather all these sheep from all these corners of the world in this powerful display of God's majesty. But like the separation of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, Ezekiel describes the separation of the fat sheep from the lean sheep. The fat sheep are those who push the weak around, using their size and eminence to get what they want. These fat sheep pay no attention to the needs around them. Though they don't care for the poor and the hungry and the homeless. They don't care for those who are hurting or suffering in any way. They only care about themselves. It was the same for the goats, apparently, in Matthew. The Lord promises to be the shepherd of the weak, the shepherd of those who need him, and gather them from all corners of this wide world of ours. As I told the children in our children's sermon, Christ's kingship and greatness is found in how he cares for the least among us. Christ's kingship and nobility is in how he serves. It's a powerful paradox from what we might expect of a king. It's a paradox that ushers us into eternal life. Because God came to dwell with us, not because he needed to, but because we needed him to. We needed Christ to walk among us, to be in our shoes, and to attend to our weaknesses. He did this. God gave generously, pouring out his very life, his very blood for our sakes. And he calls us to do the same. He calls us to be considered amongst the sheep by taking care of the needs of our neighbors. Follow in his way. To be generous with our time, with our talents. So, though I come back to you with sore back today and sore arms. Dylan, are you sore? yeah, he is. That soreness, that generosity, that going the extra mile, putting in the time. We are following Christ's example by doing so. We are following in the way that the Lord has set for us by being good to our neighbor. Because after all, God has been good and far more generous with us than we deserve. Day after day after day. Each and every single moment of our lives. And for that, we give thanks. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.